Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States, Canada, and indeed from around the world. Our contact information, then we'll go right to our callers on the web. It's equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000. And the letter is CRI. First up today is Lee, listening in Silver Springs, Maryland, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lee.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. I just have a quick question. Lately in my church, I've noticed that there's been a little change in direction. For example, my church is now accepting practicing homosexuals as members, and I'm told that, you know, the word will help change them. If they come to the church and they're married, they will be welcomed in like any other person who may be coming out of sin. And they tell me that's okay because they're coming into the kingdom, and because they're married and they're homosexual, that doesn't make any bearing from their membership as a part of the church. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that anyone that comes into a genuine Christian church is one who says, I want to follow the precepts and the principles of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which is to say, I want to come out of Satan's world. I want to be part of the kingdom of God. If they want to remain in the city of man as opposed to the city of God, then they will continue in the behavior that is part and parcel of an earthly kingdom. But if they want to join those who are principles of the kingdom, then they want to conform their lives as well. So it seems completely unrealistic for someone to be a practicing homosexual to want to be part of a healthy, well-balanced church. In fact, because churches exercise church discipline, if they were to be admitted as members, they'd have to be excommunicated as well, pushed back into Satan's world so that they can see the differences between the principles of the kingdom and the principles of Satan's world. So it is incongruent for someone who is, let's say, involved in polyamory, has many loves, or polygamy, has many wives, or polyandry, has many husbands, to want to join a Christian church, because all of those behaviors are behaviors that are in opposition to that which comprised the principles of the kingdom. So either the church has changed and become like the world, or the world wants to come into the church and become like the church. I mean, those are the two options. If the church becomes just a social organization that doesn't have any standards, doesn't have a statement of faith, allows anyone to take communion, even though it can be hazardous to your health, as Paul says, then it's no longer really a church. And then the question that you're asking is a moot question, because this is just a society within societies. It is a society of friends who do whatever they want. But if you are genuinely a church committed to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, then someone who is involved in practices that are diametrically opposed to the principles of the kingdom and very harmful to themselves and to anyone else brought into the relationship. For example, if they brought a kid into the relationship, all of the sociological statistics are clear. This has nothing to do with whether you're a Christian or not, but the sociological perspective is that children are best helped by gender differentiated parenting. So here you have a couple coming into the church that would be doing harm to a child, and no church would want to be part of that.
Okay. So if I continue to go there, am I a part of that belief system?
Well, if you're in a church that sanctions behavior that is diametrically opposed to the principles of the kingdom, what I'm saying is that is not an authentic church. And I would think as a Christian, you would want to be part of an authentic church.
I see. All right. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brad. He's listening in Hayden, Idaho, KTAC. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Hank. My son asked me why God would create people knowing they would maybe eternally punished in hell. And this created a struggle within me to follow God's first commandment, love him with all your heart, because I could not fathom doing the same. And therefore, I'm kind of grappling with the idea of the annihilation principle. Tell me, am I off base here, or is this unbiblical, or...
Oh, yeah, it's a very unbiblical. God, who is one of love and justice, does not arbitrarily annihilate the crowning jewels of his creation. Far from rubbing us out, he graciously provides us the freedom to choose between redemption and rebellion. God is never a cosmic rapist who forces his love on people. If people do not want a relationship with him in time, he does not force that relationship on them in eternity. Otherwise, heaven would not be heaven. Heaven would be hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment worse than hell. But I think that there's a further issue that you should think in terms of salving your own heart, and that is, when you had your son, you knew that your son would one day die. You knew that your son was going to experience pain and suffering. And yet you chose to have your son. Why? Because you felt it better to love with the sure knowledge that your son would suffer at some point, and maybe even your relationship would be breached, than never love at all. And in the same sense, God creates people in such a way that they can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit or reject that. If that were not the case, love would be rendered meaningless. It would be forced. It would be predicted with a certainty that could not be changed. In fact, I was reading just today the views of Islam. Aisha, the young girl that Muhammad married when she was 6 and consummated his marriage with at 9, she was talking in the very same terms. She was saying that God creates people in the loins of a human being who are destined for either the houris in heaven or the horrors of hell. So it's all fixed ahead of time. But that is not the God of the Bible. God creates us in such a way that we can respond to his grace or reject his grace. And that's what makes love meaningful. So your son is not compelled to love you. You don't make your son love you with a 45 pointed at his temple. He loves you volitionally, and that's what makes the love meaningful. And this is the same situation that we're in with respect to our Creator. We love him because we desire to love him, and if we reject him, God sanctions that rejection both in time and in eternity.
Do people then suffer, though, for all eternity? I mean, I don't know that I would have had my son if I knew that he was going to, that there was a chance that he would suffer for forever and ever and ever. I don't know,
but that is,
that I would have done that.
The suffering itself is a function of what someone wants. So think about your life right now. Imagine that you did not want a relationship with God. That would create great misery and suffering for you. Because we are created in such a way that we don't find our full joy apart from God. We are created with a vacuum that only He can fill. And when God does not fill that vacuum, a whole other host of things seek to fill it, but they never satisfy. So God has created us in such a way that we need to love Him, that we find our fulfillment in doing that. But it's never in a way that's compulsory. It's always in a way that takes into account our will. I've written about this in a book called Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. Obviously, the death rate is one per person, so the question that you're asking is appropriate for everybody listening in. Be right back.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the Christian faith over the radio waves, through the written word, and by preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank is closer to Christ than ever before, and wants you to learn from his experiences detailed in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. The Bible Answer Man will return right after this. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go next to Helen, listening in Branson, Missouri. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm an 83-year-old widow in good health, and I have three children, but two are in serious trouble with drinking and drugs. And I need to bring my will up to date. And my pastor of years ago told me that, well, God didn't reject me because I disobeyed, and that my goods, everything that I have, is my children's rightful inheritance, and that I should give them all equally the same and give them a copy of the will and tell them that I love them. And my problem is that I just wonder if I shouldn't leave it to some grandchildren who really are victims of the problems that their mother and father have brought to them. And I just wondered, what do you feel the Lord would have me to do in this regard?
Well, this is between you and the Lord. I cannot answer that question for you, but let me give you some principles. Everything that you have, your time, your talent, and your treasure, is a trust from the Lord. And you are called to be a good steward of that time, talent, and treasure, which is to say, you are going to be accountable before God for what you did with what you had. And so you have to be a wise steward. If you are not a wise steward, there are consequences to that. And those consequences in terms of poor stewardship are not only that the gospel is not furthered, but that the gospel is hindered. If you give a young person who is ungrounded or on drugs or an alcoholic, if you give them $20 million, you're not helping them, you're hurting them. Because all they will do is continue a wanton lifestyle, but now at an accelerated pace. So I think you have to be very, very careful with what you do. Now, I cannot tell you whether you should or should not, because I don't know all the details. But what I do know is that you have to be wise and not take the cookie cutter answer that you have been given about what you should do or what you should not do with your will. It simply is insufficient, it is incorrect, and quite frankly, it's a dangerous kind of advice that's been given to you.
Right. Well, that's why I'm calling. I needed another perspective on it, and I know what you're saying, and that's kind of what I have come to the conclusion of, that I am to be a good steward of what God has given me, and I don't want it to go to waste. And as Pastor Evans told me, well, God doesn't need your money, and that's a rightful inheritance, that God didn't cut you off because you disobeyed.
See, this is kind of the fallacy, isn't it? That somehow or other that this is punitive on your part. It may actually be the best medicine you could possibly be dispensing. It doesn't have to be cast in the light of punitive. You're trying to get even with someone, or you're being unkind to someone. Sometimes the greatest kindness God shows us is to withhold the very things that we're asking for, because if we were to get what we were asking for, the very things we're asking for would ruin us.
Well, that's true. Well, I think you've answered my question. It's my relationship with the Lord that I need to talk to him about and feel out what he feels that I should do.
Right. This is something that ultimately you're wise to get good counsel on, but you are the one that will be accountable for what you do with what you had. I, for example, and I won't mention any names obviously here, but I had a friend who was very, very wealthy, extraordinarily wealthy. And one of the challenges that he had was what was going to happen when he died. Well, he has died. And his resources, and they are immense, are in the hands of people. If he knew what they were doing with it, and these are family members, he would not only roll over in his grave, he'd go into high rotation. They are using the resources for things that would have caused him to blanch, things that are diametrically opposed to the principles of the kingdom. And that's why it's so important that what we do now is recognized as having an impact for all eternity. Have to be very, very wise and prudent. And this ought to be a matter of great prayer, a matter in which you are doing correctly, asking for counsel, weighing it before the Lord, and then making a decision that only you ultimately will be held accountable for. So it's a great commission. It's a sobering responsibility that you have and that all of us have. I mean, I'm going to stand before God someday, and then I have to give an account for what I did with what I had. And to whom much has been given, much will be required. And that is a daunting thing when you look at it. And so the thing ultimately that we have to have before the Lord is wise counsel and pure hearts.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you so much, and God bless you. And I think you've kind of verified some things that I've been thinking. I love my children, but I love the Lord. And so I've got to do what I have to do. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
God bless you, Helen. Back to the phone lines, talk to Alice in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Hank. I read in the Bible where it is said somebody is talking to God or Jesus, and they said, we have cast out demons, we have healed the sick, and God says, get away from me, I never knew you. So I am really questioning my Christianity, and I'm having a hard time with my faith. I feel like my faith has just dwindled since I read this, because if these people were doing all this, casting out demons and healing people, and God said, get away from me, how in the world can I justify my Christianity?
Sure, and you have to look at the context. This is the famous Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is telling his followers, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. And then, a little while later, after giving some illustrations, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name drive out demons, perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you doers of iniquity. And I can well imagine that he had in mind when he was speaking someone very much like Judas, who was part of his inner circle, who was part of the miraculous ministry of Jesus Christ. And yet, his heart was far from the Master. This is a matter of making Christ a means to your ends, as opposed to realizing that Jesus Christ is the end. It is a matter of going to the Master's table, not because you love the Master, but rather because of the food that is on the Master's table. So again, this is a matter of the disposition of the heart. As far as you personally are concerned, if your desire is to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, if you love the Master, then your real operative word ought to be the word willing. It is not that you do everything correctly, but your heart, the disposition of your heart, is that of someone who is willing to follow Jesus Christ. And those that are willing, God will enable through the power of His Spirit. And as you partake of the means of grace that He gives to you, you will grow ever closer to the one that you have taken as your name. You know, His name is Christ, and you have called yourself a Christian or a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. Remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, I cannot do what I do. The organization, the Christian Research Institute, cannot do what it does. Just letting you know that we could certainly use your support. We'd be delighted if you would consider joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. When you do, be pleased to send you any one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Just check it out again on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. My apologies to all those still hanging on. Hopefully we'll have an opportunity to chat right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we continue answering your questions, because life and truth really do matter.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.